Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, good morning and welcome to another edition, another Rock'em Sock'em edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. The number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin to call in is area code 516-418-5978. Every day we make this appeal to Mr. Franklin and his ministerial associates to see if any one of them has grown a spine. To see if any one of them would dare call the broadcast to give an answer. You know, the Apostle Paul said, be ready to give an answer. Well, Mr. Franklin is too chicken to give an answer. He's been outed again. Mr. Franklin has been outed again. Shown to be a false teacher extraordinaire. This guy is so false. He is so wrong. He is so clueless. He is such a moron, an ignoramus, a retard, that when you sit under Jensen Franklin's teaching, you have to discard everything. If it was a meal, let's say if Jensen Franklin was to serve you a plate of food, and you would look at it, there would be nothing on the plate that you could eat because it's all false. It's all contaminated. You would have to throw out the peas. You have to throw out the potatoes. You'd have to throw out the carrots. You have to throw out the steak. Even the dessert, even the vanilla chocolate chip ice cream, you have to throw it out. It's tainted. It's poison. It's false. It's no good. You couldn't drink what Jensen Franklin is serving you. If he's serving you iced tea, throw it out. It's no good. Every meal that Jensen Franklin serves up as a shepherd to his supposed flock is tainted with lies, falsehoods, errors, doctrines of men, doctrines of dimwits, doctrines of demons. That's what you're getting with Jensen Franklin. The number here for Mr. Spineless to call is area code 516-418-5978. Let's see if this is the day. You know, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that I'm waiting for Jensen Franklin to call in. Let's see if he's grown a spine and picks up the phone. Let's see. Let's just see. I doubt it. He's a coward. He's a yellow-bellied sapsucker. The Bible says, the book of Proverbs says, that the righteous are as bold as the lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues them. That's Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin has tucked his tail and run. He's running. All I see at a distance with my binoculars is a guy running with a yellow streak running down his back and his tail tucked between his legs. That's what I see when I look at Jensen Franklin through my binoculars. Through my binoculars. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is broadcast number 19. That's right. This is part 19 in a 20-part series. And I'm going to be doing a summary broadcast. After I finish tomorrow's broadcast, which is the official ending with 20 broadcasts on teaching. I'm doing 20 teaching broadcasts, but the final broadcast, broadcast number 21, will be a summary of everything that we've covered. I have to summarize this baby. I have to summarize all that we've said about Jensen Franklin's idiotic, moronic, imbecilic sermon, Jezebel's Children. My goodness gracious. If you ever wanted a sample of stupid preaching, of imbecilic, moronic, retarded preaching, all you had to do is listen to Jensen Franklin's stupid sermon. It's so stupid. Listen, it's super duper stupid. And this is why I believe that Jensen Franklin is Paula White Cain's spiritual twin. Because, listen, on the woman's side, Paula White Cain is stupid. She's stupid. But on the men's side, Jensen Franklin is right up there with Paula White Cain. Two stupid twins. Who stand behind the supposed sacred desk. Well, my brothers and sisters, listen, turn to page. You ought to be looking at page number 59. We're on page 59. That's right. You can get these free outlines even at this late date. And if you ever come across, if you ever happen to stumble across these broadcasts, and you want the outlines, whoever you may be, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I will send you these outlines, because when you listen to these broadcasts, I want you to be able to follow me, and I want you to be able to see what and who my sources are. I document everything. I give you footnotes. All right, listen, go to page number 59. And you know that you're at the right page if you have a burgundy red setting. All right, on top, it should read Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones broadcast, and that should be in burgundy. The broadcast number is 235. This is part 19, and the broadcast date is January the 24th, 2020. And we are currently in the middle of dismantling, destroying, obliterating Jensen Franklin's fifth faulty interpretation pillar. I told you, when we started to listen to this moron sermon, I told you his sermon was based on five interpretation pillars, which I have concluded all faulty, and thus far, you know that I'm right, because we've done numerous shows on pillar 1 through 4, and I've showed you where the error lies. Now I am currently showing you where the error lies in pillar number 5. Yesterday, as I began to dismantle pillar number 5, I proved to you that Jensen Franklin has told us this lie before. What's the lie, you say? Well, he's constantly telling us that there's a predominant spirit against the church. Back in 2013, the predominant spirit was the spirit of Python. Remember when he was pushing his book, The Spirit of Python? Oh, the predominant spirit against the church, the Lord revealed to me. The Lord whispered in my ear. The Lord told me. The Lord gave me special revelation that the predominant spirit against the church would be the spirit of Python. Now, 6 years later, he's changed his tune. Now, the predominant spirit isn't the spirit of Python, which he so emphatically said it would be. He was emphatic. He said Jesus told them, the Lord told them, that in the last days perilous times will come because we would be battling this predominant demon. This demon, this would be the chief demon, the primary demon. The arch enemy of the church would be the spirit of Python. Now, just 6 years later, it's not the spirit of Python. He's changed his tune. Now he claims that the predominant spirit against the church would be the spirit of Jezebel. What a nut. What a fool. What a clown. What a clown. What a clown. We should have circus music right now for this fool. Well, we've learned yesterday that no, we're not buying his lie because, again, he has contradicted himself. See, Jensen Franklin is hoping that people like myself and people like you are not listening to him. That we sit there, we fist bump, we pray, we shout, and we say amen to every moronic thing that he says. But you see, those of us who contend for the faith, those of us who are Bereans, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid that anybody serves up. You're going to have to prove it to us scripturally. We want scriptural proof. We're not like little children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. No, 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 no. We're not little Dorothy's. Like in The Wizard of Oz, who here comes a cyclone, and there is Dorothy, and she's taken up in the cyclone. No, we're not little children. We're not little fairy tale listeners. We're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we don't want to go visit The Wizard of Oz. We want to be anchored on the Word of God. The Word of God is our sure anchor. The Word of God tells us what is and what is not. Not some fable, not some myth, not some story that this clown, this bozo, is peddling. So again, what is it going to be 3 years from now? You know, when Jensen Franklin gets a new itch and he wants to preach again, what is the predominant spirit? It's not going to be the spirit of Python, and it certainly won't be the spirit of Jezebel. It will be some other spirit because this is a pandemonist. This is a guy who all he does is talk about demons. He's a nut. He's a Rod Sterling Twilight Zone nut. That's what he is. So again, let's look at this. Let's look at this. We're looking at faulty interpretation pillar number 5. And this is how it goes. Jensen Franklin claims that the predominant evil spirit, and I'm reading off of page 59 in your outlines, Jensen Franklin claims that the predominant evil spirit slash demon waging war against the church in the last days will be the spirit of Jezebel, who will be accompanied and aided by her demonic children. This is pillar number 5. Now, listen. If you have been with me since the beginning, and we just talked about pillar 1, and we talked about pillar 2, and we talked about pillar 3, and we talked about pillar 4, if you've been with me through all those broadcasts, you know that there is no such thing as the spirit of Jezebel, no such thing, that there is no Jezebel spirit, just like there's no Leviathan spirit, just like there's no spirit of Ahab, just like there's no spirit of Athaliah. All of this stuff is made up hokey stuff. This is just nonsense, absurdities put forth by crazy costals and now a retard costal who goes by the name of Jensen Franklin. Okay, so there is no Jezebel spirit, and demons don't have babies. They don't. Angels, and that's what a demon is. A demon is a fallen angel. Angels don't reproduce. They don't reproduce themselves. Angels don't copulate. Angels don't have sex. Angels don't push out little baby demons like humans do. Humans push out babies. According to Jensen Franklin, Jezebel is having children. She's having baby demons. Now, he fails to tell us who the daddy is. Who's the daddy of these demons? He fails to tell us that. He fails to tell us how the spirit of Jezebel gets pregnant. He fails to tell us how long are these baby demons growing in spiritual Jezebel's womb. All those important details that you and I want to know, he leaves that out. And he just wants us to believe that Jezebel is just, you know, pushing out little baby demons. A fairy tale. This is precisely what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter told us to stay away from. Jewish fables, Jewish myths, stay away from this stuff because they turn people away from the truth of the gospel. That's what they do. All right. So now, again, interpretation pillar number 5. Jensen Franklin claims, and that's all he can do, because he cannot back up anything by the word of God, even though he claims he can. He can't. Jensen Franklin claims that the predominant evil spirit waging war against the church in the last days will be the spirit of Jezebel, who will be accompanied and aided and helped by her demonic children. Okay, now, what have I told you before in previous broadcasts? I've told you before, if you go to point number 1, I've told you before that Jensen Franklin is nothing more than a babbler. What's a babbler? What's a person given over to babblings? What is a stupid person who just talks nonsense? What is a babbler? Okay. It comes from the Greek word spermologos, which is only found, it's only found in Acts chapter 17, verse 18. The compound word. It's two words in one. Spermologos. It came to be used as a noun, signifying a crow or some other bird, like a raven or a blue jay or a cardinal, whatever bird you want to use. But it's a noun signifying a crow or some other bird that picks up seeds, sperma, a seed, and lego to collect. Metaphorically, it was used in Greek society. It came to be used of a man who picked up scraps of information and then retailed them secondhand. In other words, listen, Jensen Franklin wants you to believe, even with the spirit of Python, Jensen Franklin wants you to believe that the Lord told him this stuff. But the Lord, it's impossible. It's impossible for Jesus, our Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, the Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is impossible for Jesus to have given Jensen Franklin the revelation on the spirit of Python because it is complete error. Our Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, does not traffic in falsehoods. Jensen Franklin picked this up from a demon. Again, metaphorically, the word spermalogos came to be used of a man who picked up scraps of information, doctrines of demons, and retailed them secondhand. He's telling us that this is a revelation God gave specifically to him, which makes him a plagiarist. He didn't come up with this. He got this from some demonic source. So Jensen Franklin is a spermalogos. He's picked up some information here, some information there, and sometimes he listens to Bible teachers, and he'll get one idea from this Bible teacher, and he'll get another idea from that Bible, and then he'll peddle it off. He'll stand before the members of the Free Chapel churches and tell them, this is what the Lord gave me, but he's a liar. He's a plagiarist. He's got nothing firsthand. Everything is secondhand. And every time he speaks, he's just full of error. Okay, that's what I need to remind you, because we covered this before, but as we come to a close, I need to remind you that that's what Jensen Franklin is, a babbler. He's just picking up one idea here and one idea there, and then he puts them together like a tossed salad, and he serves it to his people. You got some garbanzo beans in the salad. You got some lettuce. You got some tomatoes. You got some carrots. You got some celery. But notice he had to go to the tomato patch to get the tomatoes, and he had to go to the celery patch to get the celery, and he had to go to the carrot patch to get the carrots. And so he's picking up stuff from all over the garden, different sections of the garden. Then he comes and he puts it in a bowl and he tosses it, and then he says, this is what I have for you today. But it's poisonous. It's full of falsehood. That's what a spermalogos is. A man who picks up little bits and pieces and scraps of information and then stands before us and says, this is what the Lord gave me. We know he's a plagiarist. He's got no original ideas. None. This is a moron we're talking about. This is an ignoramus. If you don't believe me, if you don't, read the trilogy. Read Spirit of Python Dunce. Read Spirit of Python Ignoramus. Read Spirit of Python Retard. I make a convincing case in each book that he is a dunce, he is an ignoramus, and he is a retard. Convincing. Convincing. Okay. So now, let's go to bullet point number B. According to Franklin, the predominant evil spirit attacking the church in the end times would be the spirit of Jezebel. And this we find in YouTube video entitled Jezebel's Children. It was published by his church, the Free Chapel Church, on July the 28th, 2019. Three times. And I chop it up for you. See, if you, the first time you pick this up at the 7 minute mark, 7 minute 20 second mark. From 7 minutes and 20 seconds, you run it to 7 minutes and 38 seconds, that's the first clip. Then the second one you find at the 10-minute mark, starting at the 10-minute, 38-second mark, and ending at the 11-minute, 10-second mark. And the third time he says this is at the 15-minute mark, 15 minutes, 40 seconds, and ending at 16:28. So I want to take you there. Let's go there. Now remember, saints, remember. All we're doing, we're not, this is a 1 hour sermon. We're not picking it up at the 1 hour. All I did, and let me just remind you, I start at the 4 minute mark, 4 minute, 6 seconds, because 4 minutes before he starts to preach, 4 minutes before he reads the Bible, he's giving introductory remarks. That's not part of the sermon. The sermon really begins, the starting point of the sermon begins at the 4 minute mark, 4 minute, 6 second mark of this videotape. And all I've done is go from 4 minutes to 15 minutes, which is basically 11 minutes. All I did was listen to 11 minutes of this foolishness, and I said enough. In the 11 minutes that I dissect, it's only 11 minutes that I dissect. I'm not dissecting the whole sermon. We start at 4:06 and we end somewhere around 15:06. Okay? 11 minutes, that's it. In these 11 minutes, I found these five pillars of error, five pillars upon which his sermon is based on. That's it. That's it. All right, let's listen. And we're going to start from the top. We're going to start at the four-minute mark. We're going to start there because I don't want to be accused of saying things or making up things that a pastor didn't say that. My pastor didn't say that. Oh, yes, he did. And here's the audio. Here's the audio to prove it, because people are going to say I'm putting words in Jensen Franklin's mouth, which I do not. I don't have to put words in his mouth. He's got lots of words. He's got lots of things to say. Remember, he's a plagiarist. Nothing that he says is original. He's picked up a little idea over here and a little idea over there, and that's all he does. All right, so we're at the 4 minute, 6 second mark, and we're gonna go to the first clip, and I'll tell you when the first clip is coming up. I'll tell you when. This way you can perk your ears and hear, okay? All right, here is Jensen Franklin, and we got to listen to about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes before we actually get to the first clip that I want you to really focus on. But I need to do this because I need to show you in context what this buffoon is saying. Here he is.
God is doing. I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today.
All right, now, we're at the 7-minute, 20-second mark, and we have to go from 7 minutes, 20 seconds to 7 minutes, 38 seconds, which is 18 minutes long. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to what he has to say during these 18 seconds, which are critical. This is critical now.
The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches.
All right, so notice, he says the first three chapters of Revelation give us characteristics, gives us a picture of what the end time church would look like. These are seven prophetic stages. Did you hear that? Now, he didn't get that. He dropped out of Bible school, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. But he picked that up somewhere. He picked that up somewhere. Now, again, that is a very popular teaching in the church today, that the seven churches in Revelation, the seven churches, is 2,000 years of church history. That's a very popular teaching and very accurate. But Jensen Franklin did not get that through Bible study. Remember, he's a spermalogos. He just picks things up and then peddles them as his own. All right, now I want to go back again. I want you to hear this again. These are the little things that people, you know, people listen to him and they don't pick this up. And I am a forensic analyzer. This guy is saying things, but it doesn't get by me. It may get by some, it doesn't get by me. Because this is my job. This is what I do for a living. I forensically analyze what people say. I break it down and then I match it to the Bible and say yes or no. All right, so we're going back to 720. We're going back to 720. All right, let's see if I can get it back to 720. All right, let's see. Let's see if I can do this correctly. And again, I want you to notice he says these seven churches represent 2,000 years. Well, he doesn't put it the way I put it, but listen to him now. Listen to this. It's only 18 seconds.
Three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches.
Seven stages of Christianity, seven stages of the prophetic church, okay? All right. Now, we're going to move along to 10 minutes, and that's why it's there in your outline. I cite it for you. 10 minutes, 38 seconds, 10 minutes, 38. All right. Trying to get it there for you. All right. I'll tell you when. We're real close. We're 10 minutes, 25 seconds. When we get to 10 minutes, 38, I'll stop it and then get your ears perked for this.
Shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel. They will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way.
All right. Now get your ears perked, because we're going from 10 minutes, 38 seconds to 11 minutes, 10 seconds, which is we're basically listening to 32 seconds. 32 seconds. Listen to this.
Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive, even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts.
All right, so notice what he did. In the first clip, starting at 7 minutes and 20 seconds and ending in 7 minutes 38 seconds, he took a very popular teaching within the church that the seven churches in Revelation, starting with the church of Ephesus and ending with the church of Laodicea, are seven prophetic stages of the church. Now, he's a Bible school dropout. Doesn't know what he's talking about. There's a little scraps of information that he picks up, okay? Now, he takes that truth, because what he says in 720 through 738 is truth. But then he mixes that with the error that he states at the 10-minute mark, 10 minutes, 38 seconds to 11 minutes, 10 seconds, where the predominant spirit in the end times would be the spirit of Jezebel, and she's coming with her children. So notice, he takes doctrines of demons in the second clip, and he mixes it with truth in the first clip, and notice that's how he's spinning his yarn. All right, let's go to the third and final clip, which is the 15-minute mark, 1540. All right, here it is, 1540. Let's see if I can get it. Okay, I got it close. I got 1535. Let's listen. 1540 to 1628. That's the third and final clip.
Word fornia, from which the word pornography comes from. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus said the end time predominant spirit before modern technology, this was written thousands of years ago, and Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, there's coming a spirit against the end time church, and I'm going to name it pornography. And that spirit goes with the spirit of Jezebel. Pornography is the visualization of something that is immoral. It is lustful looking. And the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of lust, will run concurrent. At the same time that's happening in society and culture, the Bible says that God is going to send, this is a prophecy in Malachi,
Okay, so notice, Jezebel comes with her children. One of her demonic children is manipulation. Another demonic children is pornography. So he's telling us Jezebel's coming, and she's bringing all these demon spirits with her, and they're going to be among us in the end times. Okay? All right. So now, let me prove to you that this guy, again, he's mixing error with truth. All right, let's go to point number two. Point number two, the seven churches of Revelation and their prophetic import. What do these seven churches mean prophetically? All right. When you go to William Newell's commentary on the book of Revelation, he he noted, and this is an outstanding commentary on the book of Revelation, he noted that J.A. Sace, who lectured on the book of Revelation, in fact, J.A. Sace's lectures were turned into a three-volume series and were printed in 1865. It's a magnificent series on the book of Revelation, J.A. Sace's lectures. He calls the attention, J.A. Sace does, he says, listen, and basically I'm going to paraphrase. He says, listen, the first person to ever mention, this is J.A. Sace, and Newell is quoting him. So J.A. Sace says, listen, the first person to ever offer up the idea that the seven churches were seven prophetic stages was Victorinus. Victorinus was a bishop in the church who lived in the third century. Now, we're talking about, this is a bishop when bishops were bishops now. We're not talking about the clown bishops that we have today. Victorinus was a real bishop. He defended the cause of Christ, like Polycarp, bishop of Smyrna, another outstanding bishop in the church. This, again, this is when bishops were bishops. And this Victorinus was the first ever to break down the book of Revelation. And he states, Victorinus does, that the seven churches represent seven prophetic stages, the church of Ephesus being the first church, the first church representing the apostolic church, and then the Laodicean church is the end time church. So the earliest church is the church of Ephesus, which is the first one mentioned, starting in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And the last church is the church of Laodicea, which represents the end time church. So you have the early church, Ephesus, the end time church, Laodicea, and it was Victorinus, the first commentator ever on the book of Revelation, that offered up this suggestion that the seven churches represent seven futuristic states of the church. Obviously, Victorinus, when he wrote his commentary on Revelation, was within the church period of the Church of Smyrna. The Church of Smyrna was the church that was going to be attacked and persecuted. If you read Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, that's the church of Smyrna. The word Smyrna means to be crushed. The church of Smyrna was persecuted, crushed by the devil. And, of course, Victorinus died in the year 303 A.D. He was a martyr. He died for Christ. He was a member of that prophetic period called the Church of Smyrna when the church was undergoing persecution. Okay? All right. So now, I give you the quote. I give you the entire quote here by Newell. Now, if you want this information in Sace's book, you got to go to, remember, it's a three-volume series, a series of lectures on the revelation of Jesus Christ. You'll find this in volume one, page 46. Now, these books are hard to find. This is an 1865 edition. I have a copy. All right. And then, of course, if you want Victorinus's commentary on the apocalypse, a commentary on the apocalypse of the Blessed John, you have to go to the 38-volume series of the church, and you have to go to the first section, the Ante-Nicene Fathers, volume 7, page 344. Of course, you know, no one has an original copy of Victorinus's commentary on the apocalypse. Remember, this guy wrote this stuff in the year 200 and something. He died 303. It's the first commentary ever on Revelation. So where did Jensen Franklin get this idea? Well, first of all, Victorinus came up with it. Then every successive Bible commentator on Revelation who studied it historically within its historical context followed, like Sace and Newell, till it's come down till today. And that's why it's this seven prophetic stages of these seven churches is taught very prominently in many, many Bible schools, because it goes all the way back to the second century. All right. So I'm giving you Newell. I'm giving you SACE, and in other words, I'm trying to give you the breadcrumbs. I'm trying to show you where you can go from today, where you can go from Newell, who wrote in the 1960s, to SACE, who wrote in the 1800s, to Victorinus, who wrote in the 200s. I'm trying to take you all the way back to show you that Jensen Franklin got this nugget of truth from the church. How? Who knows? But then, in the second clip, he mixes it with demonic error. Okay, so now, I want to take you to two books that will help you immensely. The first book is Edgar Ainsley's book on the book of Revelation. It's called The Dawn of the Scarlet Age. Now remember, the Harlot Church is dressed in scarlet. The dragon in Revelation 12 is scarlet colored. Everything in the Scarlet Age, the dawn of the Scarlet Age, is the age of evil. The age of evil. So this is a great book, Edgar Ainsley's book on Revelation. It's called The Dawn of the Scarlet Age, Studies in the Book of Revelation. Okay. Now, Ainsley, what he does is, he has a long chapter, a very long chapter, and what he does is he gives you the prophetic dates of each one of these churches. For example, look at the Church of Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus begins on the day of Pentecost and goes until the year 99, AD 99. And there on the bottom of the page, I give you where he states that. Now, the Church of Smyrna, says Ainsley, starts at the year 100 and goes to the year 311. Now, remember, Victorinus died as a martyr in the year 303. So notice how Victorinus, who suffered martyrdom, because that's what the Church of Ephesus is all about, the devil unleashing persecution upon the early church, starting in the year 100, where it really got hot and heavy, and there were, as we know in church history, as we look back, from the year 100 to the year 311, there were 10 imperial persecutions. In other words, the Roman emperor, 10 successive Roman emperors, beginning with Domitian, not Nero, but beginning with Domitian, from 100 to 311, there were 10 successive Roman emperors who just persecuted the church. And that's why Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, and you shall suffer persecution, you shall suffer tribulation 10 days or 10 periods. Okay, so now, the church of Smyrna is from the year 100 to the year 311, from the death of John the Apostle to the beginning of the reign of Constantine. All right. Now, the Church of Pergamos. The Church of Pergamos starts on the year 311 and goes to the year 590, from the Emperor Constantine to Pope Gregory I. Again, this is all in Ainsley's book. All right. Now, I have here in red, if you scroll down from page 60 to page 61, you'll notice that the Church of Thyatira is in red. In Ainsley's book, it's not in red, but I put it there because I want you to focus on that. The Church of Thyatira from the year 500 to the year 1500. This covers the period of the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. Now, again, this is all church history, okay? All right. Now, when did Jezebel in the book of Revelation show up? What church did she show up? Did she show up at the church of Ephesus? No. Did Jezebel show up at the church of Smyrna? No. Is she mentioned in Christ's epistle to Pergamos? No. When does Jezebel show up in the seven churches of Revelation? She shows up at the church of Thyatira. Okay, so what church period would that be? That would be the Dark Ages, from the year 500 to the year 1500. Okay? All right, now. Then from the church of Thyatira, you have the church of Sardis, from 1517 to 1750. Again, This is laid out in Ainsley's book. And then you have the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea combined. That's from 1850 to the Lord's second coming. In other words, from 1850, you start with the Church of Philadelphia, and the Church of Laodicea will be the church at the Lord's coming, when the Lord returns, or the Church of the Last Days. All right? Okay, so now, there you have the seven periods of the seven churches laid out according to Edgar Ainsley, a reputable commentator and a reputable Bible scholar when it comes to the book of Revelation. All right, if that doesn't convince you, then let's go to Henry H. Morris, his commentary on the book of Revelation. He noted. Okay, Ephesus, the Church of Ephesus, represents the apostolic age from the time of the apostles to the year 100. The Church of Smyrna, the age of persecution from A.D. 100 to A.D. 313. Pergamos represents the imperial church age, or the age of Constantine, when Constantine kicked things off from the year 313 to 590. The Church of Thyatira is the age of the papacy, or the papacy, however you want to say it, tomatoes, tomatoes, the papacy, the papacy, whichever, from the year 590 to the year 1517. The Church of Sardis is the Reformation age, from 1517 to 1730. The Church of Philadelphia represents the missionary age, from 1730 to 1900. And the Church of Laodicea is the age of apostasy, from the year 1900 to the present. And we have a question mark there, does Mr. Henry Morris, because he doesn't know when the Lord is coming. He's not a predictor. He's not giving you a year in which the Lord is coming. But from the 1900s to whatever time the Lord comes, that's the Laodicean church age. Okay? Now, remember, and I want to take you back to clip number one. I want to take you back to clip number one, which is the 7-minute mark, 7 minutes. So let's go to 7 minutes, 20-second mark, 7 minutes, 20-second. All right, here is Jensen Franklin. I want you to listen closely because this is what he says. Listen to this. This is very important. And he's going to tell you that these seven churches represent seven predictive ages, or seven predictive. In other words, Jensen Franklin is saying, he doesn't know Victorinus came up with this teaching, but he's basically copying Victorinus. He is basically parroting what J.A. Say said, what Newell said, what he's basically saying what Ainsley said, and he's basically saying what Henry Morris said. He's following them. Here he is.
The book of Revelation describes seven churches, and it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches.
Seven stages of Christianity. Seven prophetic stages of the church. Okay, go back to your outline. Go back. So my question is, okay, moron, you're saying what Victorina said. You're saying what Saith has said. You're saying what Newell has said. You're saying what Henry Morris and Edgar Ainsley have said, that the seven churches represent seven predictive periods, okay? You establish that. That's your foundation. Now, having said that, you cannot say, moron, you cannot say, Mr. Idiot, that Jezebel is going to be the predominant spirit, because if we follow your first statement, Jezebel shows up at the Church of Thyatira. Therefore, she should have been active, not in the Laodicean period, but in the age of the papacy. She should have been active in the Dark Ages. That's when she should have been, and she was, because Jezebel is another picture of the Roman Catholic Church, the apostate church, the harlot church. So you see, throughout the book of Revelation, you're getting told that during this period, the period of Thyatira, the church allowed this woman Jezebel. Listen, who is Jezebel? Jezebel mixed God's truth with Satan's error. That's Roman Catholicism. That's when the Roman Catholic Church came into power, starting with Pope Gregory I. Do you see how it works? Do you see? So now he says the predominant spirit in the end time, the Lord told me, is going to be Jezebel. No. No, it can't be. It can't be. Why? Because that age is gone. We're not at the church age of Thyatira. We're in the church age of Laodicea, moron. You can't have it both ways. You can't say at the beginning of your sermon that these seven churches represent seven predicted periods and then try to bamboozle us by telling us, oh, Jezebel's going to be active in this age. She can't be. She can't be. Can't be. Why? Because we're in the Laodicean age. That's where we're at. And while the Roman Catholic Church is here to stay, we all have to agree that the Roman Catholic today is not as powerful as she once was when she governed the entire world and held the entire world in her clutches back in the Dark Ages. We're no longer in the Dark Ages. Man has come out of the Dark Ages. We are in the Enlightenment period. Thank you to the Reformation. So that the Roman Catholic Church exists today? Absolutely. Is she as powerful as she was during the Dark Ages? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Lord Jesus has flung her into a bed of affliction. She has suffered mightily. Are we in the age of apostasy? Absolutely. The Laodicean church age. We don't need Jezebel to deceive us. Why? Because we're deceiving ourselves. We're in the Laodicean church age where we have deceived ourselves to think that we're rich and Jesus says we're poor. To think that we are highly clothed with our Episcopal robes, but Jesus says we're naked. Where we think we have vision, every pastor, the pastor's vision, the pastor wants to do, and the pastor is blind, and the leaders are blind, and the church is blind. That's the Laodicean church age. So you see, my brothers and sisters, as I listen to this goon, because that's what he is, he's a goon, he says one thing comes out of his mouth, which makes him sound credible, but then the second thing that comes out of his mouth allows you to see that he's mixing truth with error. Truth with error. And we know, my dear brothers and sisters, we know that there is no spirit of Jezebel. That doesn't exist. That's a fabrication. We know that there is no spirit of lust. There's lust. There's no spirit of pornography. There's pornography. There's no spirit of manipulation, there is manipulation. Stop with the spirits. That's what pandemonists do. All they do is talk about spirits. Stop talking about spirits. It's just plain old manipulation, plain old lust, plain old stupidity, plain old nonsense. That's it. Oh, listen. I just love kicking this guy's can. Oh, I would love to get him on a debate stage. I would love to get this goon on a debate stage so I can kick his fanny up and down that debate stage. That's why he won't call the broadcast. That's why he's got his head in the sand like an ostrich. That's why he's playing invisible man. Conclusion. It seems to me And it should be apparent to all that Mr. Franklin's claim that the spirit of Jezebel will be the predominant end-time evil spirit warring against the church is not credible, seeing that Jezebel is mentioned in the papal church period, which is A.D. 590 to A.D. 1517, and not, and she does not show up in the Laodicean church period, which is from the 1900s to the present day. This is why, again, this is another reason why, in addition to the reason I gave you yesterday, this is another reason why his story doesn't add up. It's another reason why. And listen, all these reasons are important. So we're going to leave it there. You got to come back tomorrow for the finale. You got to come back. And then, of course, I'm going to do a summary broadcast. And you're going to enjoy. You're going to love that. So, my dear brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. Love you much in Jesus. God bless you.